All right, good morning. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 1. We'll actually look at much of the book in this message I've entitled God's Renewed Rebel. I hope you have your Bible with you and you open it and turn to the book of Jonah. I want to begin by reading the first three verses of chapter 1, where it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." How do you respond to instructions of the Lord? Sometimes God's word is just not pleasant to us. But you see, Christ-like character is His goal in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 list the fruit of the Spirit, which will manifest in the life controlled by the Holy Spirit. This fruit manifests itself when we yield to His control our lives. Love manifests in unpleasant circumstances. Joy manifests in disappointing circumstances. You know, there's that light at the end of the tunnel, which turns out to be an oncoming train. And just when you think nothing else can happen, the floor drops out, and then the roof caves in. It can be tough, but joy manifests in disappointing circumstances in the life of those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Peace manifests in the midst of turmoil. Patience, when you're waiting on someone. Kindness manifests in irritating circumstances. Goodness, when others are doing wrong. Faithfulness, when you just don't feel like it. Gentleness, man, when others are just plain inconsiderate. And self-control manifests when we yield to the Holy Spirit instead of satisfying our own desires. Let's consider Jonah's response to God's instructions. In this book, we can see four stages of the Lord's dealing with His prophet, Jonah. First, we want to see in these four stages of the Lord's dealing with Jonah is rejection brings God's discipline. The command left no room for misunderstanding. It said, go to Nineveh, call out against it. It came down to either obey or rebel. There's no gray area in between. Obey or rebel. Jonah chose to disobey the Lord. Nineveh was due east, and the prophet went due west. Verse 3 says that he went from the presence of the Lord. You know, how often when we hear the word of the Lord do we try to get out of His presence? Get out of the presence of the Lord. Remember David? Where can I go? He said, wherever I go, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I go into Hades, you're there. Where can I go? Jonah was given a job that was repulsive to him. Let me tell you, the Jews hated the Ninevites because of what the Ninevites did. Jonah's attitude was, hey, if the Lord cares so much for these wicked people, He can send someone else with His message, not me. Well, that's a big problem. You see, God cared about 120,000 Ninevites. Tells us that in chapter 4, verse 11. He also cared about His AWOL soldier, Jonah. God loved him. Listen, God loved Jonah too much to not get involved. He would not let Jonah go. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And look at verse 17 as well. It says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, God didn't let Jonah go, and He won't let you go either. I remember back in Miami, the church we were at, we used to have, there was a group of families. We used to have a fellowship just about every Sunday after church. We would get together and we'd bring food together. We'd share it all and just have a great time of fellowship just about every Sunday. And then we'd take a nap. And then we'd all get up, enjoy some more fellowship, and then we'd go back to church for evening worship service. But one Sunday, on the way home from church, where we'd be going home, grab what we're going to bring to eat, and then go to the fellowship, this one Sunday, Joanne and I got into a big fight on the way home. Big argument. We got home, and we carried it into the house, and it just got so bad that when it was time to leave, to go there, I said, no, you go by yourself. I do not want to go. So we argued some more, and then finally she left me at home. And I just said, okay, fine, I'm good. I'm just staying here. Within a short time, there was a knock at my door. I answered the door. It turned out to be about five of the other men of the families that we fellowship together. What's going on? Well, Joanne and I had a disagreement, and I just decided I wasn't going. She went. They said, well, you need to come. No, I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. She can be there with the kids, and that's fine. No, we're not leaving here until you get ready and come with us. They care that much. And they got there, Joanne and I worked everything out, and everything was fine. We had a great time, and it became like any of the other times of fellowship on Sundays. You see, I remember evangelist Dave Busby, who has gone to be with the Lord now, but he did revival meetings 1 year at our church in Miami. And I always remember one thing. Of all the stuff that he preached about, I remember one thing in particular he said. He said, the Holy Spirit, He'll let you run. You want to run. You want to run like Jonah. You want to run. The Holy Spirit might even give you a length of rope and just let you keep running. But at some point, He's going to pull that rope. Let me tell you. God was not willing to let His servant go. He was not willing to let Jonah continue and just go off in his rebellion. So He sent a storm, and then He sent a fish to grab Jonah when he was thrown into the sea. Did the Lord do that to punish Jonah? To show him who's the boss? to express his anger at rebellion? No, God loved Jonah. Jesus even compared himself to the prophet. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 40, Jesus said, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." This wasn't to punish Jonah as an offender, but to discipline him as a well-loved child. Actually, it was a learning experience. Jonah entered one of God's classrooms, I like to call them. God sent us into classrooms at different stages along our walk with the Lord. He puts us in classrooms to learn something. And if we don't learn it, well, He allows us to go into another classroom in order to learn it. Jonah entered one of God's classrooms because he had a very narrow view of grace. He needed to learn something about grace. Grace was okay for his fellow Jews, but grace wasn't good enough for his enemies. God couldn't love, and it wasn't right for God to love those who he didn't love. It wasn't right for God to love people who were greater sinners than he was. We kind of think like that. Well, God could never save that person. Oh, that person doesn't deserve. No, well, we don't either. We don't deserve it either. Well, let me ask a question then. What effect did this classroom have on the prophet? Well, then let's look to our second stage, and we'll see a little bit. Second stage we see in God dealing with Jonah is recommitment brings God's deliverance. Inside the belly of that great fish, Jonah prayed. He cried for mercy. He repented of his rebellion. He remembered his calling. And he renewed his vow to serve the Lord. All that happened while he was in that great fish for those days. He prayed. He cried out for God's mercy. He repented of the sin of rebellion. He was reminded of his calling. And as he did, he renewed his vow to serve the Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay." Before Jonah ran from God's presence, now he was desperate for God's presence. Because of discipline, Jonah came back. Because of discipline. What is the intent of discipline anyway? In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 reads this way. It says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Every believer faces this. Every believer faces this. Verse 10. "He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." Verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness." So the purpose of discipline is to keep us on track in the pursuit of righteousness, that we may grow in our walk with the Lord, that we may become more and more like Christ. And so when we get off track, we need to be brought back. And sometimes it requires discipline in order for that to occur. But the goal is that we would become righteous, that we would become effective, faithful servants of the Lord in the image of Christ. It's hard to view discipline that way. it's difficult to see pain as God's love. Wow. That's hard to see. Hard to accept. But look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. He says, the waters closed in over me to take my life. He says, the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. This is as he was thrown in the water and as he's going down. He says, I went down to the land where whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Can you relate to this? What about that next verse, verse 7? He says, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. C.S. Lewis, he once said that pain is God's megaphone. We can run so fast, so hard, so long that we can't hear His voice. And so God allows pain to come into our lives that we may hear Him through that megaphone of pain. He cares. Listen, God cares that we're destroying ourselves. So He sends dark clouds. He sends storms. He'll send a big fish if necessary. Let me ask you, are you facing a struggle or some kind of heartache in your life? Is it sounding like as if coming from a megaphone to get your attention? Let me ask you, when did you last give God a chance to speak in your life? In the midst of the issues and the things of your life. When did you last let Him speak? Give Him a chance. And then third, in these stages of God's dealing with Jonah, we see that faithfulness brings God's reward. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Jonah got a second chance. Full forgiveness is seen here. Full forgiveness with the same command given. It's as if chapters 1 and 2 never even happened. And what was the result? This time it was obedience. So Jonah, verse 3, arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah, he graduated from Big Fish University. He learned a lesson. He was able to get out of God's classroom at this point. But he wasn't alone in failure. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. And then later, chapter 15 and verses 36 down to 39. In Acts 13:13, Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Well, you know, when you first read that, you go, okay, so John left them. We're going back to Jerusalem. All right, well, I mean, he had to go. There was some reason he had to go back to Jerusalem. So he didn't go on with them. But then when you go to chapter 15 and verse 36, it reads, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Let's go back and see all the churches that got started and let's see how everybody's doing. Verse 37, now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Paul wanted Mark taken off the missionary roster altogether. Why? Because he wavered in commitment and he quit and left the mission journey and went back home to Jerusalem. But you know what? Think about it. At least he tried. He went. And he just couldn't keep doing it and he left. Jonah didn't even try. He didn't even try. He rebelled. Well, let me ask you, what would you have said when Jonah's name came up at the mission board after the fish fiasco? What would you have said if you were on the board? How quick are you to write someone off from serving the Lord? How quick? How hard is it to give a fellow believer a second chance? God gave Jonah a second chance. And then we read later on in Paul's letters that Paul eventually gave Mark a second chance. And he became a faithful co-laborer with Paul. Someone who was very useful, Paul said to him in the ministry. And yet, Jonah was still human, even after that forgiveness. Because the fourth and last stage of God's dealing with Jonah is that he was ungrateful. And ungratefulness brings God's rebuke. That's it. Revival hit Nineveh. I mean, how exciting for Jonah, man! Well, actually, Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 reads, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." Man, all those people in Nineveh, great repentance. And Jonah was upset. He was disappointed. He wasn't happy for what happened, for the great work that was done there by the Lord. Look at verses 2 and 3. In fact, I mean, he wasn't just disappointed. He took it to God and expressed his disappointment. Verses 2 and 3. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, oh Lord, please take my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah obeyed, but he was still bitter and resentful. I mean, he was rude. He was ungrateful, even after getting a second chance from God. Now, here, think about that. My first thought is, God should have squashed that puny prophet. But he didn't. Instead, he even reasoned with Jonah in rebuke. Now, I had this dog, Oreo, a border collie. And go to take her out for a walk, and she would just run out ahead. Right, go right out the front. Or to the side. Everywhere she walked. But I began to rebuke her, to get her back over to my side, to walk along with me. After several rebukes, she began to get beside me and stay beside me. You see, Jonah's experience is an incredible affirmation of the grace and patience of God toward his stumbling children. Much like my dealing with Oreo, trying to get her to walk beside me. I kept dealing with her and kept dealing with her and kept calling her. And every time she kept going, I kept calling her. And then eventually she began to respond and walk. But that's the kind of patience that God, even more so, that He has toward His stumbling children. Forgiveness, listen, begins at the cross of Calvary. And forgiveness continues with confession of sins. 1 John 1:9. God's gracious to the one who's repentant. And how gracious is He? Well, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You see, God can use you regardless of failures. He can use you to encourage other believers. He can use you to witness to unbelievers sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But you got to stop running. And you got to start listening for His voice. And you got to start listening to His voice. And obeying His leadership. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for the witness and testimony of Your servant, Jonah. Father, we saw in him what we see in ourselves. That we don't want to do the things that are distasteful to us. We don't want those who are our enemies to enjoy the same grace that we do. And Lord, even sometimes when You give us another chance, we obey, but we still harbor the bitterness within our hearts. And we don't rejoice in the work that You do in and through our lives. Father, I pray that You would bring conviction to Your people. Everyone who is listening or watching this message, that You would bring conviction to repent and seek forgiveness of bitterness and enjoy the grace that You have given us and continue to offer us in ministry. Father, may You be glorified. It's all in the name of our precious Lord and Savior we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you have a wonderful day.